Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him it goes.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, and we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And you may have thought that every conceivable skullduggery, of Donald Trump has surfaced by now, right? Every conceivable skullduggery. You may have thought, for instance, that, well, the insurrection, the extortion of Brad Raffensperger, bank fraud, tax fraud in New York, all of that, it's all come out. But something cropped up yesterday that surprised even me. It turns out that it appears that Trump had his IRS, which is illegal, it's a criminal offense to do this, after James Comey was fired because he wouldn't drop the Russia investigation, and after Andrew McCabe stood up to Trump as successor head of the FBI, each of them were hit with random IRS audits. And when I say audit, I'm not talking about the kind of audit that you may have been subjected to occasionally. There's a thing called a death audit by the IRS. It's described as like an autopsy without the benefit of death. It's only every year, only about 5,000 people are subjected to it out of 130 million. It's about one every 36,000 persons by random, totally random, just as a check to make sure that you are not up to some skullduggery. And it is like an autopsy. Both James Comey and Andrew McCabe, right after they turned on Trump, were subjected to these. That's not random. With James Comey, they said, you took deductions for some kids. Let's see your Christmas cards. Did you put them on the Christmas card? You deducted an ink cartridge for, $39 2 years ago. Let's see the receipt. What? You don't have a receipt? It took 15 months for these guys to satisfy the IRS. They both were clean as a whistle. Comey spent $5,000 in accountant fees. The IRS commissioner, under whose jurisdiction it was ordered, had been a Trump supporter, and he was the one who gave the opinion that Trump should not show his tax returns in the 2016 election. And then Trump made him head of the IRS. He had made his living as a corporate lawyer attacking the IRS. This has got to be investigated too. Trump subjected two people who had stood up to him in high positions in the FBI to the death audit. That is wrong. It's a criminal offense. Go to the lines. Gina Beauclair, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gina Beauclair?
You know, how many ledgers are we going to have of all the crimes this guy committed while in office? I mean, seriously, I have never in my life, I paid attention to our government for many years, but I'll tell you something, Matt. I was putting my papers in order because I got notebooks filled because I watch live and in all of the different hearings and everything going on in our government. I have never seen the likes of it in my entire life. The stuff he pulled, and then I keep remembering of when Trump, you know, people are wondering how Trump has this bond with people. But if you remember, there was a Saturday Night Live skit, and it was people sitting down to eat or in school or different places, and all of a sudden they get a tweet, and it was Trump. Trump is the first president that would tweet individual people and bond with them. And he that they really thought the president loved them, because it's the first time in their entire life probably they even got a message from a president. Right there is when it started, because when I saw that skit, I thought, oh, my God, that's what he's doing. Because nobody in our society got individual correspondence with a president. And he made them feel important. And he made his problems their problems. And they're doing it to us. He pulled them in. And we have to wake people up, because I have never seen a more corrupt man in my life. I've never seen the response of the Republican Party as they have changed. It's just like they have no brains. I mean, I've never seen these people kowtow to anybody in my life the way they bow to him, and they're fearful of this man, and they do anything so he doesn't get mad at them, and they just, it is unbelievable. We have to vote in Democrats. They never did anything. They didn't have any agenda. They celebrated on the lawn when they thought that they got rid of health care for everybody. They were so excited. And then John McCain just wrecked all their fun because they wanted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And then people would have been up the creek without a paddle. Then when everybody was getting sick and the president, past president, knew that people were getting sick and could die from the pandemic, and he lied, and the people around him lied, and then exposing people where they could really get sick, and all the people that died. Matt, I was watching the different countries. They had nobody on the streets. I couldn't believe it. I was watching New York. Nobody on the streets. Nobody anywhere. This was serious stuff. But we got Joe Biden in. Joe Biden came in, and he had a mess on his hands. People, I watched as they were going through NATO, you know, and discussing Ukraine and what they should do. Some of those countries didn't trust us because of Trump. I mean, he really had to work hard on that. And they were afraid to work with us because they're afraid we're going to get another president like Trump again. And I couldn't believe it.
I love your passion. You have nailed the issue precisely. There has never been a cult like this. This is really a cult of Trump. It's a cult of Trump. People are afraid of Trump, and it's spilled down, and it's cost people money. And I'll give you an example. When he attacked Voss, and he just said, I may get involved, and, you know, I don't like Voss. Voss immediately appointed Gableman, who did this corrupt audit that found nothing. He's insulted a judge and opposing counsel. He's subject to an ethics complaint, and we're paying for that all because of eventually Trump. Trump is at the insurrection, which he organized. He sent out a save the date card. Everybody shows up, and the Secret Service says, sir, they have AR-15s, knives, brass knuckles. They have homemade spears, poles that they put spearheads on, and we've taken them away from him. He said, well, don't take them away. Take the magnometer, in other words, the metal detector out. Bring the people over on the lawn by the Washington Monument who have these weapons and wouldn't go through the metal detector, and we're going to go on the Capitol because, quote, they're not here to harm me. Well, who are they here to harm? I'll tell you, a guy has brass knuckles, AR-15, guns, homemade spear, knives. What do they have a knife for? Bowie knife. What do they have a knife for? Who are they going to stab? Not Trump. They go to the Capitol. Who's in the Capitol? Congressmen, senators, and law enforcement. And that's what they went up to attack. Trump knew it. He formed an armed insurrection. And it was only at the end, at the grace of God, that the Secret Service wouldn't drive him to the Capitol, and they drove him to the White House. This is a guy who's thoroughly corrupt. And what I just said about the latest development, that that the IRS under him and under his lackey ordered the death audit for the two FBI directors who stood up to him, That's a criminal offense. You cannot use the FBI that way. Richard Nixon did. He would say, all right, this I don't like this journalist, audit him. Try to get him on tax fraud. There has not, other than Nixon on taxes, and Nixon was nowhere near close to trying to form an armed insurrection to keep himself in power. This is a constitutional moment in our history, Gene. It's a constitutional moment in our history. You cannot have it just lying out there in the ozone that he tried this, nothing happened. Somebody's going to try it again. They are going to manipulate the system to have the state legislators pick the electors. They're gerrymandered. If we had a free maps legislature here, the Democrats would be in control. We win about 53% of the votes for the legislature, and in Wisconsin we get a third of the seats in the assembly. About a third, roughly. A little more, but a third. That is going to be the legislature that picks the Trump electors next time. Your right to vote has been taken away from you when and if that happens. Evers right now has a veto. If Evers doesn't get reelected and you get the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, or you get Michaels, it won't be vetoed. You will effectively have had the right to vote for president plucked away from you. Right now, the Supreme Court is about to hear a case that would do exactly that out of North Carolina. They can simply say, no governor can veto anything. No state Supreme Court can overrule it. No federal court. Whatever the legislature wants, the gerrymandered legislature controls everything. And who the hell are they? They weren't elected. That's not in the Constitution. We have an outlaw Supreme Court. We have 9 unelected people who are taking away our freedoms. I think they've got to be impeached. They've got to be impeached. Trump is an authoritarian. He's on the take from the Russians. He's in bed with the Russians. This has got to be stopped. The Republican Party has become the cult of Trump. Become the cult of Trump. We've never had a cult like this before in our history, and we don't want another one. We do not want another one. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to give an update on Ukraine, and I want to emphasize what's going on over there. What's going on over there by the Russians, the Ruskies, is a genocide. It's an ongoing war crime. It's the equivalent of a Nazi invasion of Eastern Europe that occurred during the Second World War. Here's a little bit of an update. Griner, the WNBA star, they're using her as a pawn. She's in the middle of a trial. They say it's going to take months. What does it take months to say if you had hashish oil and vaping it in your carry-on if they didn't plant it themselves? I'll tell you what. I've been to Russia. I was there in 1997 with a delegation from the Justice Department. We gave talks to Russian prosecutors and lawyers on our legal system. That was during the thaw. I wouldn't go to Russia now. You put your carry-on through the detector, and if they need another hostage, they go, oh, what is this? And they'll plant it on you. I don't know if they did that with Griner, if she had it or not. She was playing basketball over there. You'd think that, what do? They arrest her? She can get 10 years for this. She wrote a letter to Biden. They are playing this thing. They're going to do a several-month trial, quote-unquote. And then they're saying, well, somebody said prisoner swap. Well, those are difficult. They're sadists. They're simply sadists. They're down on troops. They've lost so many troops, more than 25,000 in Ukraine. Putin is now paying convicts from prisons $3,100 to go and fight. He releases them from prison. He's going to unleash rapists and murderers, although his troops are rapists and murderers themselves, but These are people who are in prison. $3,100 are the equivalent in rubles to go fight. Empty out the prisons. You know, Joe Biden took the lead in putting NATO back together after Trump almost wrecked it. Joe Biden has taken the lead in making sure that Ukraine gets armaments that it needs. The UK has assisted as well. So have Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Germany has pretended to, and is really disgusting how they have held back. France is a little better than Germany, but not much. But anyway, I want to say something about the weapons we've sent to them. They've been asking for multi-launch missile systems for a long time, and we finally sent them four, and there's four more coming. And that they've been very, very effective against the Ruskies. They have almost a 50-mile range, and whenever they're fired, they're moved immediately because people with on the receiving end can figure out where it came from and then bomb it. But they need a lot more than that. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, I strongly agree with it, where they said we should send them 50 of them, not just four of them or eight of them, and mercilessly pepper the Russians, kill as many of these Russian Nazi invaders as possible, including on their ships, and get them more missiles and more ammo that they need. Now, what is going to happen? This can't go on forever. And this is a delicate subject, but I'm going to just say it right now. As long as Vladimir Putin is alive, there will never be peace anywhere in the world that the Russians are close to. He thinks he's Peter the Great from the 18th century. He has said, quote, Russia has no boundaries. When they succeeded in hacking into the 2016 elections and putting their man Trump in, Trump repaid them by lifting sanctions. Then what happened was the Congress reimposed them. Trump tried to stop them. Trump attacked NATO, said he liked Putin, he trusted Putin. He's on the take. Eric Trump, his son, said that they've been financed by the Russians for a long time because they cheated so many American banks, they won't give money anymore. He also, in February, just before the Russian invasion, actually right after the Russian invasion initially in February 24, Trump said Putin is a genius. He got all that real estate for $2 in sanctions. Crooked Mike Pompeo, remember him, the crooked Secretary of State of Trump, Crooked Mike Pompeo, said that he admired Putin. Tucker Carlson admires Putin. So does Josh Hawley. The right wing of the Republican Party admire Putin precisely because he's an authoritarian and got away with it. Remember something about fascism. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Fascism has no ideology. You have communist fascists, and yes, they have a communist ideology. And you have right-wing Nazi fascists, and they have an ideology. That's kind of like Russia now, who are mafia-type fascists. But theoretically, fascism in general, starting Mussolini, has one objective, staying in power by whatever means necessary, saying whatever you have to say, killing whoever you have to kill, lying, stealing, torturing, and invading, just to stay in power. Vladimir Putin has to die, because if he doesn't die, that's not a normal country where he can retire. He'll be killed by an oligarch who then will take over. But he can't die at our hands. The Russian people, the rabble, are going to have to kill him. And that is why the more pressure we put on him, the more pressure we put on him economically, militarily, they do not care. Those oligarchs are murderers, fascists, thieves. They do not care what he's doing, but they do care if it's unsuccessful. That they do care about. And one of the rabble, when they finally decide that they're next to be killed by Putin, will kill him first. More than six oligarchs have been murdered, stabbed, shot, And Putin's statement on that was it was a murder-suicide. Their wives and kids have been murdered, too. Putin is an animal, a disease-carrying rat in human form. He's got to go. He can't stay on forever. This cannot be permitted to continue forever. He cannot go into a European country and murder and rape people. He says he captured a city. That's because he destroys the whole city, launches it. And we've told Ukraine they can't use our missiles to go into Russia. They do anyway. I'm glad they do. They bomb cities within 30 or 40 miles, but they don't bomb Moscow. One way to get him out would be to bomb Moscow, but we don't want to start a nuclear war. Biden is handling this perfectly. Biden knows what he is doing. Give Ukraine a lot more armaments. Give them 50 multi-launch missile systems. Give them plenty of ammo and missiles, and drive the oligarchs and others to take out Putin, and have somebody come in who's more interested in stealing money and accumulating wealth than he is thinking that he's Peter the Great in the 18th century. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. No such song. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. The favorable development to Milwaukee's getting the Republican National Convention, if that's what you want, has occurred. The only other competitor is Nashville, Tennessee. And it's no secret the Republicans would like to have it in Wisconsin because Ron Johnson's up for election. And this is a purple state, whereas Tennessee is a pretty red state. And they're not in danger down there anyway, anytime soon, of losing a Senate seat. But what's helped our bid, Nashville just now withdrew a resolution that would approve accepting the convention, because the convention requires some expenditure by the host city. What happened is a lot of the Nashville City Council oppose it, just as a lot of our people opposed it. And it was supposed to go to a vote the other night. And instead, the guy that put in the resolution of approval yanked it. He yanked it because it was going to fail. It was going to fail. He yanked it. Now, he may try to reintroduce it, but for the problem for Nashville is August 3rd is the deadline when the Republican National Committee is going to vote on who should get it, and this can't be reintroduced before then. Now, a lot of people out there, you're going to think, oh, my God, you know, we have a lot of great restaurants in Milwaukee. So you have your Sanford's and the Bartolotta Group. You have Buckley's, Bavette, Zarletti's, great ones, Sala, a lot of other great ones. And if I omitted anybody, it's by accident. There's a ton of them. You don't want to go into a restaurant and see Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Lauren Boebert sitting there. That'll ruin your meal. You certainly don't want to be here if Trump is nominated. But relax. First of all, the way these things work is usually donors will pay for the whole restaurant to be taken over by a Republican group, so they're not going to take reservations. Secondly, this is all going to happen somewhere. The $250 million that gets poured into the economy in southeastern Wisconsin, which spreads all through Wisconsin, is something that restaurants, hotels, motels, and others need. And they pay dishwashers, they pay wait staff, they pay people who make beds in motels. Somebody has to pay for this. We're going to break. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Just veering away a little bit, but this is a question that I would have is I've been reading that Lindsey Graham is suggesting that he's going to refuse a subpoena that has been issued by Georgia court. And my question is, and it's just kind of a broad question. I know that people have refused subpoenas issued by Congress. Matt, how do you refuse a subpoena? It seems like an ordinary citizen like us, if we are subpoenaed to do something, we got to get ourselves down there and do what needs to be done. What is this deal? What is a mechanism that allows people to refuse a subpoena? Can you just talk about that a little bit? And I'll take my answer off air.
Sure, Joe. Thank you. Excellent question. And what Joe is pointing out, and this has happened just repeatedly by the Republicans. They'll be subpoenaed. They'll be subpoenaed by Congress. Some are being subpoenaed by the grand jury in Georgia right now in Fulton County by Fannie Willis, who's a great DA down there. She's terrific. And Giuliani and Lindsey Graham have been subpoenaed. Trump and his associates have been subpoenaed in New York. I mean, there's subpoenas all over the place. And Joe correctly points out that if she were subpoenaed or I were subpoenaed, I'd show up. She'd show up. But if you didn't show up, that would be contempt, and you could be arrested. You'll certainly be fined. And so how are these guys getting away with it? There's a couple of things, and you have to look at it in layers. First of all, the Congress tends not to subpoena other members of Congress or former members of Congress. It's sort of professional courtesy among sharks and wolves. But, you know, they'll ask them for their voluntary cooperation, especially if they're current. Now, with Mark Meadows, he was former, and he did cooperate a little bit. Trump is a very bold individual who does not observe the niceties of the law. He doesn't care. Trump is fundamentally an authoritarian and frankly, a fascist. Trump, you know, I've said this yesterday humorously, but it's not that humorous. If someone repeatedly throws his lunch against the wall, it might be a good idea not to give him the nuclear codes. But if somebody repeatedly throws his lunch against the wall and tells the Secret Service, don't take the weapons away from this crowd, we're going to go to the Capitol, they're not here to harm me, and the only people in the Capitol to harm are legislators and cops, that is the essence of fascism. Trump does not have a conscience. He does not have a conscience. Now, you may find that hard to believe, but take a look at the conduct over the last 5-6 years. He does not have a conscience. So if you don't have a conscience, you get a subpoena, or you start thinking about it, what are the costs of resisting it? And you just continue to resist it. In New York, he did until they fined him, I think it was $25,000 a day or something. And then finally he caved because he didn't want to keep paying money. But then he claimed he didn't know anything and he didn't comply anyway. Joe, they're going to have a hard time avoiding a subpoena from a grand jury. That is a sacred subpoena. If you get a subpoena from a grand jury and blow it off, that implicates prosecutors and the Justice Department. So I don't think Lindsey Graham and Rudy Giuliani will just ignore the subpoenas of Fannie Willis and the grand jury in Atlanta, in Fulton County. However, congressional subpoenas are inherently political, or they're seen as political, because, think about it, the party issuing them is typically the majority party, in this case, the Democrats. If people don't want to show up, they'd blow it off. Now, it's not correct to say that there's no consequence. Remember that Steve Bannon blew it off and Peter Navarro, and they have both been criminally charged, and Bannon's trial is coming up, and he can get 2 years in jail. So they put some teeth into it. But some of the others, like Mike Flynn, were smarter. They showed up. And then they can't get you for contempt if you show up. And he took the fifth. You can do that. You cannot be punished for doing that. But Mike Flynn took the fifth on some unbelievably crazy things. For instance, they might say, all right, were you at that meeting? I take the fifth. And by the way, the fifth, you have to technically say, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. But a lot of people will permit you to say, I take the fifth, whatever. But they asked him, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power under our Constitution? He said, I take the fifth. I mean, that's an admission to me that he doesn't believe in our Constitution. That's an admission to me that he doesn't believe in the peaceful transfer of power. So, there are different ways people have been blowing these things off. The one that they, I think, will not blow off are grand jury subpoenas. If Merrick Garland, for instance, in the fake electors inquiry, starts issuing subpoenas, and we're informed that he has, I can assure you that if anybody blew that off, they'd be prosecuted and they'd be looking at jail time. That's very serious. That's, has it, Has anybody wondered, why haven't we heard Lindsey Graham spout off recently? He has a big mouth. He spouts off all the time. Lindsey Graham hasn't been spouted off because he's a subject to a grand jury subpoena in Atlanta. And I'm sure he has a lawyer who said, keep your mouth shut. That's why you haven't heard from him. He will show up, and he will come up with some kind of defense when he called and basically was saying, well, can you do something to change the vote? He's going to say, well, I was only concerned about this and that, and my intent was this and that. Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon did blow off subpoenas from Congress. They were referred to the Justice Department. Congress does not have the power to charge them. Justice does, and Merrick Garland charged both of them. They have trials coming up. And you blow it off, they will go to jail for a couple of years. But otherwise, congressional subpoenas in general, you take Mark Meadows, he gave, you know, apparently thousands of pages of emails, and he complied until Trump threatened him, and then he stopped complying, but he gave them enough that they don't want to prosecute Mark Meadows for contempt because he went halfway. He wasn't contemptuous at first. So an excellent question from Joe. Trump himself simply blows them off. Do you remember when Clinton was subpoenaed by the Senate over relationship with an intern, and he went and he testified and all that? Trump wouldn't have testified, and he wouldn't have, and nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened to Clinton either. But Clinton is a Democrat, and Clinton is an honest man. Trump has no conscience. So you're seeing some partial enforcement of these subpoenas, but but if the average person did it, Joe is right. Get them in a heartbeat. They would get Joe. They would get me or anybody else. But these people do not care about consequences, although they frequently cave at the very end. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A couple of developments in two case states, Arizona and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Connor, we have somebody in the line. Two developments in Arizona and Pennsylvania. One good, one not so good, but I think it's an opportunity. In Pennsylvania, we have 9 Republicans who have now endorsed the Democratic candidate, Josh Shapiro, because they've labeled Doug Mastriano as an extremist. He's the Republican nominee. He's the Republican nominee. He's the one who is like a Mike Lindell type of guy, somebody like a Mike Flynn type of guy, who would simply certify any election for Republicans. And the rest of the Republican Party is getting very tired of that. This is a great development for Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, a very honest guy. He's a very honest guy. And if he wins, then he has a veto power, and Pennsylvania is in good hands. Conversely, in Arizona, there's a fear of a Trump triumvirate. There's a primary coming up. Carrie Lake, a former anchorwoman, sort of like a Rebecca Clayfish, is contesting the primary for governor. If she gets in, she's like Doug Mastriano. She will only certify Republicans. And they have an attorney general who's right wing. And then the secretary of state is being contested by a good Democrat, but they are in the balance. So keep that in mind. We're going to the lines. Rocky of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Rocky?
Good morning, Matt. Yeah, I was thinking about something with automatic weapons that are killing all the people that, besides, you know, the mass murders, just people in general. Why can't the president put out a motion to have a buyback? You're rewarded $1,000 more than the value of the current value of your gun, and they get shipped to Ukraine, and there's a $1 million lottery involved with this, where one of the lucky guys that brings their gun in gets $1 million. And the guns get put to work killing people that deserve to die. Why can't we do something like that? Why can't we make a national act like it's, you know, no more of these weapons will be sold in America. Buy the ones that the gun companies have now and send them to Ukraine. Why can't we arm a nation that needs it? And one more thing, why don't we put out a Bin Laden extraction reward for Putin? $10 million reward, rubles, cash, gold, for whoever brings them down.
Yeah, I like your style, Rocky. I like your way of thinking. And I'm going to explore it a little bit. And I'm going to do gun buybacks and I'm going to do Putin. On the gun buybacks, there have been buybacks. Canada did it. There are cities that do it. You'd want something. I mean, if you give $1,000 for an AR-15 and people can buy an AR-15 for $800, they'll sell it. Then they'll go buy another one, sell it, and so forth. You would have to have some mechanism where if they sold it back, they were prohibited from getting another one. That's number one. Number two, I like the idea. That's an excellent idea. That they then be put in a lottery, and for every, you know, 100,000 that are sold back, there'd be a number pulled, and the guy would get $1 million. I like that a lot. So there would have to be a provision that they couldn't buy another one. Now, the problem with that is federally licensed gun stores would run a check and not sell it to them. But right now, you can get AR-15s, you know, in the mail. You can get them at gun shows where nobody asks how old you are or if you have a felony. You know, there are no controls at all. And eventually, 3D printers just print these things out. So I like the idea because it gives some remedy to people who have one and don't want to be told they can't have it. On the other hand, I think ultimately the thing to do on that one is to make sure that AR-15 style weapons are classified as military weapons. We already do that with a lot of other weapons. Why not with them? Why not with them? So excellent, excellent thought, Rocky. Thank you. On Putin, here's the problem. If we put out a $10 million bounty on his head or $100 million, he'll put one out on Biden's head and on our congressman. We'll put him out on the Duma. And then they have agents in this country right now. One of the things that I think we have got to do a better job of, although Biden's done a superb job in general in containing them, is totally ostracize them. No more visas for any Russian. Any Russian in the country who isn't a citizen, expelled. No more shipments by anybody to Russia of any of our from our corporations. Many have discontinued it voluntarily, but for instance, our pharmaceutical companies still send them material, still send them stock. Tell them they can't do it. You can do that by executive order. And people say, oh, that's inhuman. But they are bombing hospitals and they are bombing medical supplies of the Ukrainians. And you can tell them when they stop doing that, we'll start sending it again. No foodstuffs go to them. Nothing goes to them. Right now, we have an embargo on things like fuel. Make it complete. Make the Russian a pariah. They have a Nazi state. Remember, this is a country. Everybody goes, oh, well, you know, weren't they on our side in the Second World War? No, they weren't. They started out on Hitler's side. Stalin entered into a mutual non-aggression pact with Hitler back in 1940 at the start of the war, and they're going to divide up Poland. Then Hitler stabbed him in the back and invaded Russia, and right up to the end, Stalin refused to consider it, even though his intelligence said that's what they were going to do. Stalin was a Nazi. Putin is a Nazi. What do I mean by that? Nazi is a term from 80 years ago. So yeah, he was not a member of the Nazi Party. But they believe in genocide. They believe in murder, torture. They believe in theft, invasion. They believe in submission of invaded populations. They are Nazis in effect. But the way you do it, I think, is not do a bounty on them, but make things so intolerable in their country that their fellow Nazis, who are all bad news as well and have no conscience, and commit war crimes, commit genocide, say it's too painful to commit war crimes and genocide anymore for the time being. We're going to withdraw from Ukraine, and one of them is going to have to take care of Putin if they really want to have power. That's my view on that. And by the way, the business of their invasion of Ukraine, I mean, as you know, Ukraine had been part of Poland, so had Lithuania back in the 17th and 18th centuries. They broke away. The Ukrainians are a very, very strong people, very nationalistic people in a good way. And they have shown magnificent resolve, and I simply do not want to see them recede in our consciousness and recede in our attention as we look to other things that, say, the Supreme Court is doing in the upcoming elections. Because it doesn't stop with Ukraine. It's going to be Moldova next. And you may say, okay, no Moldova. Well, then it's going to be the Russian-speaking populations of Estonia. And there is a Russian-speaking population of Estonia. And there are Russian speakers in Latvia and Lithuania. And it'll always be constant press, and threats of nuclear war. This has to be resolved in Ukraine, and we can't have nuclear war. But the Ruskies have lost a lot of people. They're using fairly, by modern standards, ancient ammunition and technology. But they've got to be starved further. There should be no Russians in this country who are not citizens. And the ones that are should be told that they are not going to betray us to Russia. Why do I say that? Because in several cases, they have found Russians, one in New Jersey, who's an American citizen now, who's conspiring to avoid the sanctions, going through Bulgaria, and getting forbidden merchandise to Russia. Russia is a pariah state. It's a terror state. It's a genocidal state. That isn't to say all the people in Russia are bad. I met many of them in 1997 with the delegation from the Justice Department, and there are some very fine people. But one of the things I will say is that they have a very, very bad self-image and inferiority complex. One of them came up to me after a talk I gave, said, "Mr. Flynn, you had some very fine things to say about our culture, about our authors and musicians in the 19th century. If what you said is true, why are we so backward?" And I gave him, you know, what do you say to something like that? So I try to tell him, basically, you know, you have a good country, you've had bad leadership for a long time, now you have good leadership, or at least better than you had. You got rid of the czars, you got rid of Lenin, you got rid of Stalin, you got rid of communism, and now you're hopefully on the way to democracy. That was the thaw, that was the eye of the hurricane. I was very, very fortunate to be able to go there during that time period. And I liked the people, the individual people I met. But they have had vicious leadership since the 10th century. Well, how do you deal with that? It's very, very difficult. I'm getting carried away. We're going to a break. We're going to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. Same time, same place tomorrow. And I'm signing off for today.